I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champs, both of them, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. Coming up, guys, we're going to talk Stan Van Gundy. He says we're already spoiled by how good Zion is after he put a quiet 38 on the Cavs. We'll discuss that in a moment. First, though, let's look back to our Saturday primetime showdown between the Lakers and the Nets.
Why? Two teams that could potentially meet in the NBA Finals. Irving is done for the night. Obviously, on a game they need him.
Wow.
A disastrous second half for Brooklyn. Spirited performance from the LA Lakers.
That Kyrie Dennis Schroeder ejection proved to be the turning point of the game. The Lakers outscoring the Nets 60-39 after the ejections. LA got hot from three, hitting 12 of 18. The Nets went cold, 0-14. So, Richard, look, you just said, oh, why? Well, there's a really good reason. We expected this game might be a blowout, but it was because LeBron and AD weren't playing. Kyrie and Kevin were, and it was supposed to be a blowout the other way. The Lakers instead won by 25. So do you put any stock in it?
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give you guys a heads up. Like, Perk is going to put stock in this. I'm not going to put any stock in this because ultimately these are not the teams that we are expecting to be in the finals. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be 100% when they get to the finals if these two teams are the ones there. But ultimately, you can't really judge anything off a team without LeBron James, without Anthony Davis. Kevin Durant has been back for three games. No James Harden and a Kyrie tossed out in a one-game situation. Yes, this is not what the Nets wanted, but this is not who they are going to be, and it's not the Lakers are going to be.
Well, first of all, Richard, you don't need to be giving us any more heads up because that milk dud is enough head that you're giving us on TV here. All right, that's the first thing. Second of all, yes, Rachel, I am going to put stock in this.
Yeah,
I'm going to look at the Lakers, right? Look at Talen Horton Tucker, Kyle Kuzma being out right now. And he's stepping up his game, being able to sharpen his knife and sharpen his skills. Ben McLemore, new addition, being able to come in and light it up from the three-point line. KCP hasn't been shooting the ball well. So, you know, adding great depth that holds everyone accountable. Well, now KCP is going to have to elevate his game because he's going to have to be looking over his shoulder. Third, Andre Drummond. He abused them in the paint, 20-11. Where's DeAndre Jordan right now? I get it. Steve Nash is catering to LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, but the Brooklyn Nets are not going to win a championship without playing DeAndre Jordan. They have to play him. He is their center that's going to anchor their defense. He's the best live threat that they have going to the basket. So where's DeAndre Jordan right now? He damn sure shouldn't be getting DMPs. I tell you that much.
Richard, where are you on that?
Well, no, I agree with that. A lot of times, and I had this one of my last years in Cleveland where it's like a coach goes to a veteran and said, look, we're going to play these guys. We're going to get them acclimated. We're going to get them more minutes. We're going to come back to you. And I still want to applaud DeAndre because you're right. They're not going to beat a Joel Embiid playing LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. That's just the truth. It's going to be difficult with a guy like Giannis. Some of these teams in the Eastern Conference, and even if they're fortunate to make it to the finals, which a lot of us are predicting, they have a potential to go against a team like, let's say, the Utah Jazz or like the Denver Nuggets that have a ton of
size. This week with a healthy Joel Embiid. Yes. So we'll find out
or even the
more
Lakers.
About that.
Or even the Lakers, which their dominance is really their size. When you're talking about Kuzma, Braun, you got AD, and you got Drummond. So that size is just so dominating. Mm-hmm. So, but you got to get these other guys acclimated as quickly as possible. So I'm okay with it, giving these guys a run to see if you can do it, but then dialing it back saying like, hey guys, this is what we need.
So when they came back, when Ty Lue came back to you, as he said, after getting those guys acclimated, were you able to jump in the same? Was it?
Yes, because my role was still more of just like, hey, we're going to do this and getting ready for Golden State, trying to play, you know, five or six smalls. But it was more of like, hey, we're going through a coaching change. I want to give these young guys these opportunities, but we're going to come back to you. Stay ready, stay professional, stay in shape. And ultimately he did. They're going to come back to DeAndre Jordan, but understand part of these DMPs is because they need to get minutes for Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge to see what they can offer and what they have.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, Perk.
But Rachel, RJ, it's only what 20 games or less left into the season. Chemistry comes to mind, and I get trying to acclimate these guys, but you gotta give DeAndre Jordan some minutes so that he could get back accustomed to playing with everyone. Like, I get all that trying to see what Blake could bring to the table and what LaMarcus could bring, but it's only 20 games left, and the biggest concern to me with the Brooklyn Nets is the chemistry.
Well, look, Steve Nash said that he's had to have a couple difficult conversations with DeAndre Jordan, but that he has been a real pro, so that is to his credit. We'll see how this develops. Let's move over to the Warriors, because James Wiseman suffered a meniscus tear in his right knee. Could miss the rest of the season, sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski. Wiseman, the number 2 overall pick, of course, in the most recent draft, suffered the injury in the second quarter of Saturday's victory over Houston. Elevated for a dunk, landed awkwardly afterward. Oof, right? The Warriors just one game ahead of the Pelicans for that final play-in spot out west. So, Perk, how does this injury impact the Warriors' plans for the rest of this season and the offseason, too? Because there's a lot of the fan base that would like them to make a big trade, and Wiseman's name has been brought up in that.
Well, to me, I think, you know, right now, first I want to wish Wiseman, you know, I'm sending my prayers out that he gets healthy, because I think his future is bright. But if I'm the Golden State Warriors, you know, I'm not about to be pounding on Steph Curry and playing him a lot of meaningless minutes trying to win games, because they're not going to win a championship. They're probably not going to win the play-in. They might sneak up and get into a first round and lose. So save Steph Curry. I think he should be able – I think they should do the load management part to that aspect. But then on the flip side of it, you got to think about it. Saving Steph Curry, losing games – the Warriors could possibly have 2 lottery picks this summer. I think the number 4 pick and the number 10 pick, and you add that to Steph Curry, if he stays, along with a Draymond Green, a Klay Thompson, and a healthy Wiseman, I think, hey, because maybe you could trade the lottery picks, maybe you keep them. Who knows what's going to happen? But at the end of the day, you got some equity, you got some stock that you could possibly get this summer.
Okay, let's be honest. Perk, everything that you said is correct. Hey, Warrior fans, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Do you remember when they were talking about Klay Thompson being traded for Kevin Love? Do you remember those conversations and how, like, Steve Kerr was like, no, you are not doing that. Look, Wiseman is a special player. To judge a guy at 19 years old, Wiseman is a very special player, and he's going to be a very special player for a long time. Now you want to maximize Steph, but there's probably only 2 players, maybe a Bradley Beal, maybe somebody else. There's not too many players out there that you would actually warrant, because, oh, if Bradley Beal came to the Warriors and it was Steph, Klay, Draymond, and Bradley, okay, that's a championship level team. But if you're just going to go do it for, and I'm not going to say any player's name, but if you're going to go do it for a second tier all-star or a person, that you're making the biggest mistake. This guy can be your future for the next 10 years. So be patient, use the talent that you have, and you're going to be okay.
Well, look, there's a lot of different directions that they could go. I just want to point out about those picks. If the Minnesota Timberwolves end up in the top 3 after the lottery, that's protected. Mm-hmm. So they won't get that pick if the Timberwolves end up top 3, but we'll have to see. And by the way, Steph Curry possibly going to pass Wilt Chamberlain tonight.
That's
for
awesome.
All-time points scored in a Warriors uniform.
Passing Wilt in anything, that's awesome.
So, yes, exactly. So I don't think they're load managing him tonight, Perk, but I do get your point. All right. If whoever's on the prompter can help me out and cycle through here. Yep, keep going. We're going to move on. Wonderful. All right. We're going to move on, Director Kathy. So before we go, I do want to get to a really serious news story here. Thank you very much. Appreciate that in the control room. Adrian Wojnarowski and Malika Andrews reporting about a possible postponement of Nets-Timberwolves tonight in the aftermath of the police shooting of 20-year-old Daunte Wright. Wright's death has caused unrest in Minneapolis, and in response, conversations are ongoing about the game. We are going to monitor this story throughout our show. We'll keep you abreast of the latest developments, and we will be right back. Thank you. All right, Adrian Wojnarowski just reporting the Timberwolves-Nets game is going to be postponed. Sources telling ESPN, our Emily Kaplan reporting that the NHL is also considering postponing their game that involves the Minnesota Wild tonight. Guys, this is really, really interesting to see the way this has developed. First of all, in terms of the way these sports leagues are being more active, responding to issues that have resonance for their players, right? They're not waiting for the Bucks team, so to speak, to sit in the locker room and have to decide whether to play or not, like we saw in Orlando. They're taking action now and stepping forward now. I certainly think there was probably some conversations with the Players Association as well. And the details of the shooting are still, of course, coming out. We do know that a 20-year-old unarmed black man was shot, Dante Wright. There is body cam video of the entire thing. It has been played in its entirety for the media, so there is some transparency here, and they are working through what happened. The police officer who briefed the media talking about it as a, quote, accidental discharge of the weapon. The police officer, according to the police, and we will now see how this develops, they are saying that the officer involved meant to fire her taser and instead fired the gun that killed Dante Wright. So we will see how players react to this. But what do you guys think about the NBA being proactive and just postponing the game? What do you got, Richard?
Well, I think obviously, you know, this is a very sensitive subject. I have not seen the video. I know a little bit about the details. But ultimately, people need to understand the right to protest is in our Constitution, right? It's in our Constitution. And now that protests are now starting to happen in sports leagues, we're not going backwards. We're not going backwards. The cat is out of the bag. Like, this is a part of it. And when people see whatever is going on in different communities and they don't appreciate it, then, like, protests are something that this country was built on. So whether you like it in sports or not, this is the reality. So you need to start addressing what is going on. And so I applaud the league. I applaud all the sports leagues that want to take a moment and say, like, we're not in a place that we want to play a game tonight. This is something that needs to be addressed. And a lot of players that come from these communities that have seen this their entire lives, they are fed up and, you know, they want action. And so I respect all the leagues and all the players, and I'm glad that they're being proactive as this information is coming out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I applaud the league. I applaud the association. I applaud the ownership. I applaud everyone who's standing behind their players, right? But I want to give a special applause to the players, because they're the ones that are holding people accountable and holding their feet to the fire and not accepting anything. They're seeing the bigger picture. And right now, especially in the NBA, we have a group of young African-American brothers that are heavily invested in their communities, and they're doing the right thing. Like, we're talking about guys that are at the age of 24 years old, 29 years old, 25, 23, 19, or whatever the case may be, and they're being socially active and being leaders and standing on that front line and holding their owners accountable and making sure that they stand with them. It's a beautiful thing to see what the direction that the NBA alone is going in. The NBA is in great hands as far as the leadership with the players, and I want to applaud them. I don't really have a comment yet because I don't know the full story. I haven't seen the video on what happened, but I will say this. Another shooting in Minnesota while a trial is going on is very disturbing to me. And I mean, I don't want to comment because I haven't seen it, but to say that this is happening from a right now, that this happened and they have a trial going on from a similar situation, is something going on.
Yeah, and my thing is this. When you look at Martin Luther King, and I, you know, every year on his birthday, it doesn't matter your political involvement. It doesn't matter, you know, what side of that political side that you're on. Everyone applauds Martin Luther King and what he did over the course of his career. And there were athletes that were involved in what his message were. And if Martin Luther King were alive today, and I know a lot of these things are said, where do you think he would be? What side do you think he would be on? How do you think he would be acting? How much do you think Martin Luther King would be supporting these athletes in these moments? And a lot of times you got to think about that. I know Muhammad Ali was criticized for some of the things that he did and said over the course, but upon his passing, he is one of the most revered Americans in human history across the world. And so I just think we have to look at our history and look at where we are today. And even if you don't believe in this, or if you're not for sports and politics, at the end of the day, it's always been there. There is just a greater light on it now.
I want to say this, though. Civil rights is not politics. This country promises in the documents from the founding fathers a certain bar for its citizens, and athletes trying to push us all more toward that bar is a good thing. And there's just no way you can ask athletes to be involved in their communities in so many other ways, but not care if people are getting shot in the street. We don't know the specifics of this yet. We are going to find out a lot more in the coming days, of course. But you're right, Perk. The fact that the Derek Chauvin trial is going on for the murder of George Floyd makes this particularly sensitive. And in fact, we've had the Minnesota Twins postpone their game as well against the Red Sox. Nets Timberwolves, according to Woj, could be played on Tuesday in Minneapolis. Nets play in Philadelphia on Wednesday. Timberwolves host the Bucks on Wednesday, which is, again, a bit of irony there, considering the hand that the Milwaukee Bucks played in stopping the sports world during the bubble. And I absolutely am sure that had an influence on what happened today. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk a little Steph Curry because he is only 19 points shy of passing Wilt Chamberlain for the Warriors' all-time leading scoring record. Will he get there tonight? That is next. But really glad that we had time for this conversation, and I applaud the NBA for what they did. Now, I sat down with Kevin Durant before Saturday's showdown against the Lakers. Might see a little of our conversation, but I wanted to show you a lot more that you didn't see. Here is the extended version with the two-time Finals MVP. Enjoy. So James Harden was traded to Brooklyn in January. It's April now. You, James, Kyrie Irving have only played 7 games together. Do you see any potential issues rising come playoff time from not getting this regular season work in the way you might normally?
I mean, I see more issues if we're not focused, you know what I'm saying? If we're not locked in the game plan more so than anything. And, once we got a good game plan and, you know, we follow it to the T, then we'll start to see stuff form, chemistry, if you want to call it, just energy form around, like, you know, us following what the coaches need us to do to succeed. So I think things will work out for us, but we definitely want to get on the floor.
James was spectacular holding it down while you were out. Kyrie was in and out at times. He said at one point, quote, "I feel like I'm the MVP." Who do you think is the MVP?
I mean, I really don't care. I mean, like, I feel as though, you know, the criteria changes every day. And, you know, it's become an award where it's just 7 to 8, 9, 10 guys can win it any year. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, ooh, I mean, I don't know. What's his story? Can he sell his story outside of his play? You know, there's a lot of stuff that factors into it that really don't really move me. So, but he's playing at that level, and that's really all that matters is he stays at that elite level. But it's a lot of guys playing that well.
The MVP is supposed to be about a particular regular season, but then there's sort of that larger question of who is the most dangerous guy in the league right now? Do you feel like you have that crown? Do you feel like something has to happen for you to get that crown?
At one gym, I might be the best. At another gym, another guy might be the best. But it's just like, it's millions of gyms around the world, and this conversation is going to always keep happening, and nobody's going to get the title outright. So it's not no need for me to even think about it. But I know what I bring to the sport. I know what I bring to the culture of the sport. And I feel like I'm accepted by all the real ones in the game. You know what I'm saying? So that's really all that matters. I get that respect, and that's what I've been playing for. And I want to continue to play for that.
Elevates and throws it down. My goodness. Carter, oh, Vince Carter.
Here is Vince Carter with his first shot. Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to go back to when you were a kid, because there was a time when your favorite team was the Toronto Raptors. You loved Vince Carter. Yeah. Is there any Vince Carter in your game? What about your game do you feel you took from Vince?
Nah, probably the passion that he plays with. He's a unique player. I can't replicate that. But the passion that stood out to me when I watched him after he dunked, after he made a big shot, and how much he loved to play. You know, you could tell he was excited. And, that just made me go out there and be more free as a player when I was a kid. So I'm just like, if he expressing himself like that, then I think I can too, you know?
And then now you got players coming into the league, like the number one overall pick, Anthony Edwards, said that you were that guy for him. You were his favorite player. You were the guy he wanted to be like. How does that make you feel to hear that?
Old, for one, but I mean, I've been in the league for over 10 years now, so I'm 12, 13 years older than some of these guys. And now to see them, you know, watch me when they were in elementary school and middle school is pretty, it's pretty cool, man, because, you know, I was one of them kids, you know. So hopefully I'm setting a good example of how I approach the game, and hopefully I keep inspiring people to play and watch the game.
Your mom, Wanda, the real MVP to the rest of America. She's probably been in the building for thousands of your games at this point, but what is it about the relationship between you two that makes it feel just kind of special every single time?
We had this conversation the other night, and it was just like when I was a kid, I was telling her, like, I could hear you in these gyms, you know what I'm saying? When as a 8, 9 years old, you're the loudest person in these gyms, and I was embarrassed as a kid, you know, because she was screaming at me, telling me what to do. But as I got older, you know, I was like, you know what? I enjoy having my mom supporting me as much as she did, no matter if she was critiquing me or no matter if she was, you know, encouraging me. Just having her there, having her presence there, always meant a lot to me. So now when I see her at the games, I'm just looking over there like, you go, girl, I see you. I see you over there shining.
There's a lot of talk when you and Kyrie and James first got together, people wringing their hands, talking about the personalities involved or will there be enough ball on offense. It has been seamless. Why do you think it has worked not just well, but so well between the three of you?
I think our experiences with Team USA definitely help, you know, because when you're in that environment, I wouldn't say you have to shrink yourself, but you have to really have to check your ego and figure out when you need to use it. You know what I'm saying? We hold each other accountable when stuff happens. I think that's one of the things that helped us, you know, learn how to play with each other. Because the second James got here, he was pulling us aside, telling us, you know, different things he sees out on the floor. So I think our IQ for the game and our, you know, communication has helped us thus far.
It's so interesting. It's different on every team, right? But when guys really trust each other and then they get in each other's faces, everyone takes it as a good thing. There are times you can be on a team where a guy's getting in your face and you start to feel some kind of way about it. How do you guys make sure it's the first version on your team?
I mean, we'll have guys that take things personal. You know, we understand we're playing a game. You know, we understand that life is also bigger than this. So, like, if I'm telling you to, like, get your ass in the corner, it's not that I don't like you. It's just that, you know, that's what we need for this play to work. You know what I'm saying? And I think everybody understands that on this team. And we all like hearing that from each other.
Well, we get to listen in on you guys sometimes with you especially. You've really taken control of the media that you do. You've got your podcast. You had Draymond Green on this week. Steve Kerr's recent comments, they came up too on that podcast. Steve had talked about how draining it was to coach the Warriors in 2018, which is, of course, your last year there compared to coaching the team the year after. Now, Steve was upset later. He said that his comments were kind of oversimplified. You tweeted about them, though. You said, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now that you've had a minute to hear everything and think everything, what's your take on all that?
I mean, I just don't believe that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you rather come into a game knowing you're going to lose, you know what I'm saying? Rather than come into a game knowing you got a great chance to win. Like, it just didn't make sense to me, even though, like, you tried to frame it as if, like, the mental side of coaching this team and that team, but it's just, like, not really, because you rather win games than lose games, you know, when you simplify it like that. So I just thought it was funny. And Steve is not a bad person for saying that, but I just thought it was one of those things that, you know, he probably didn't mean to say.
You won two titles with Golden State. You and I sat down for a convo like this after you won your first ring, and you said something that has stuck with me ever since. You said that you thought winning would tie up some loose ends for you, or that it would be some sort of finish line of all the work you had done for so long. But then you got there and it didn't feel that way. It wasn't like this golden thing that was going to just make you automatically happy.
I wasn't expecting to be a happy human being from a title. I was just expecting, like, you know, the ending of a movie. Once you work so hard and everybody tells you, like, yo, this is what you need to be working for, is this gold ball and these rings. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Let me lock in on that. And I locked in on wanting to achieve that, but I also realized it's a lot of stuff that factors in it that's out of my control. And once I won a championship, I realized that, like, yo, my view on this game is really about development. Like, how good can I be? It's not about, you know, let's go get this championship or let's go get this gold ring. It's like, yo, how great can you be every time you step out on the floor? Because dudes who don't do nothing on the court become champions. And dudes who don't contribute at all in any type of form or fashion can run around and hide behind the championship. But, like, I want to be a great basketball player. And, you know, once I won a championship, I'm like, oh, that's what my goal is, just to be great every day, not to be chasing some stuff that the humans created, you know what I'm saying, in a ring or gold ball. And I appreciate that stuff, and I want to win and experience that stuff, but it's not the end-all, be-all why I play the game.
Really interesting stuff from Kevin. Thank you so much, KD, for sitting down. And here's what the Jump recommends for today. We'd like to celebrate the 3-year anniversary of ESPN Plus. Happy birthday, guys.
There we go.
Launched the ESPN Plus app on this date, 2018. Proud to say ESPN Plus has more than 12 million subscribers and counting. If you don't have the app, I don't know what you're waiting for. Just go download it today. Make a birthday gift to yourself.
I got it.
All right, guys, revisiting a story we've been tracking all show. Nets Timberwolves been postponed tonight in the aftermath of the police shooting of 20-year-old Daunte Wright, whose death has caused unrest in Minneapolis. Woj reporting the game could potentially be played Tuesday instead. Both the Nets and the Wolves have games on Wednesday. And here's the NBA statement on this matter. The National Basketball Association announced today that in light of the tragic events in the Minneapolis area, tonight's game between the Nets and Timberwolves at Target Center has been postponed. The decision was made by the NBA after consultation with the Timberwolves and local and state officials. Our thoughts remain with the family and friends of Daunte Wright during this difficult time. So, Richard, it's an interesting position, right? When the Milwaukee Bucks decided that they could not come out of the locker room, it was an in-the-moment decision. And then that, of course, caused a domino effect to the rest of the league. Everybody in the bubble just felt like, great, we want to support the Bucks. We also do not want to play. This is a little bit different with the NBA postponing the game. Do you think that other players in other cities may just decide individually on their own tonight, you know what? This is not a night I feel like I can play basketball.
Well, again, it's hard for me to speak for players and it's hard for me to speak for other teams, but I will say this. When you saw the Milwaukee Bucks, they had a similar situation in their own community. Mm-hmm. And so that really touched home for them, and they represent that community and they're involved in these communities. And I think you have the obviously what's going on in Minnesota and what's happened over the last year. So, like, they've been at the forefront of all the stuff that's going on. So to have this, and I think sometimes it's not like, you know, it's more of like, I need a moment, right? I think these things like hit home because these are not just things that happen on television. These are things that happen in the communities that everyone grows up in and with family members. And so I think if they need to take a moment, if a player needs a moment, if a team needs a moment, you are entitled to that. We do not have to be superhumans. And by I say we, I mean athletes. I mean, anybody that is going through something, if you need to take a moment to collect your thoughts, you can take as long as you need.
No, I agree. I agree with everything you said, RJ, but not only do the players and the team and whoever else is involved with the NBA, but just think the community, they need a moment in Minnesota. They need a moment. Like I said before, dealing with the trial, now this, basketball is the last thing that need to be played, sports in general, especially in Minnesota. So I think this is the right decision. And again, I applaud everyone who made this decision, because right now it's just not the time. Like, it's bigger than basketball. Another black man has lost his life to police brutality. Now, I haven't seen the video, don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know he was unarmed and he lost his life. So with that being said, this is more important than any sports activity or anything that needs to go on tonight, especially in Minnesota.
And, you know, so during the break, I actually watched the video, and it is disturbing. And you know, you understand what is going on in those moments. But, you know, so many times people say sports are supposed to be here for us to take our minds off of things. Sports are supposed to be a release. Well, what happens when the people that are playing the sports need a moment? And so I think that's something that people really need to understand, that, yes, sports is your release. Sports is supposed to be something that's supposed to take your mind off of all the things that are going on. But that doesn't mean that the people inside of the sport might not need a moment and might need to take a moment to really realize and understand the severity of the situation in our communities.
And look, I'm sorry, whenever I hear someone say that is such a statement of privilege. Must be nice to be able to take your mind off of this for a night. There are plenty of people in America who cannot take their minds off of this ever, right? Mm. Ever. So the idea that, oh, it's interrupting my sports viewing. Again, civil rights are not a political issue. This is not, why are these athletes putting politics in my sport? This is America, who we want to be as a country. And the sports world for so many years has been where we have these national conversations. It's where we had a national conversation about integration with Jackie Robinson. And you can go back further than that. So this is the place we are talking about this. And tonight we are talking about it both in the NBA. We're talking about in the NHL. The Minnesota Wild have officially postponed their game. We're talking about it in Major League Baseball, right? The Minnesota Twins have postponed their game. So this is something that I think you are going to hear athletes, again, especially in Minneapolis, because, Perk, as you point out, there is no question that that community has been affected more than any other in the last year. I don't think this is a one-night thing in terms of the conversation about it. And, Richard, you wanted to add something?
No, and I just want to applaud all the athletes, not just the African-Americans, because we know this. We saw so many, you know, international players step up and support this because they see it in their own countries, even in, you know, hockey, which is, you know, there's not a large African-American presence, but they are standing up and saying, listen, we stand by you. This is America. We are together. Even if I'm not from that community, I can acknowledge what is going on in that community is not okay. So I want to make sure, Perk, you pointed out a great point that there are so many young African-American men, especially in the NBA, that are stepping up, but it's also because we have the support of our brothers from all countries, from this country,
by the way, the WNBA is so interesting.
Yeah, WNBA as well, because they were the first to stand on the front line before anybody. Now, I want to be very clear about that. Before the brothers of the NBA, before everyone nationally, the WNBA stood on the front line before anybody, and I definitely want to give them their flowers for always standing front.
Yeah, absolutely. Perk, what conversations sort of go around on your text chain with your former teammates, guys still playing in the league when something like this is going on?
Well, you know, it's different. I mean, you know, these guys are educated. They're younger, but it's just like, man, it just keep happening. Well, we about to have this meeting with the Players Association, and this is about to go on. And this is what you want. I mean, it's great leadership. So, you know, all I do is kind of chime in here and there, listen to what they have to say and get up out of there because, you know, although they still my brothers and my friends, they don't trust me a lot, Rachel, because I'm in the media.
We trust you, Perk. Thank you so much.
I know, I'm just playing.
Thank you, of course, also for this really, really important conversation, you and Richard. Thank you to Kevin Durant as well for his time. We will see you back tomorrow.